And the woman was playing sympathy, playing the victim. It's a Munchausen syndrome. So ego does not have to be, I'm holier than thou, I'm big. Can be the other way too. Okay, the macroscopic and microscopic view, folks, okay? So all these lectures can be linked together. Sorry, you missed that part, you have to catch up, okay? Priests, doctors, wait 2 hours to see me. If you don't like it, go and see Dr. B. You have to wait 3 hours. That's an ego thing. Pharma, merchants, we all have it. It's how we apply it, okay, folks? So you are not relating to that person at all. But who you think you are is relating to who you think the other person is and vice versa. Why is this so difficult to understand? It's because think, the thought process. If you understand when we talk about thought process, you will understand this sentence. So you are not relating to the person at all, but relating to who you think you are. That person is you, the true self, compared to what you appear outer surface. Okay, and it's relating to not the other person, but who you think the other person is. You, it's saying that I. Okay? That's why we have to break that ego, to really, truly relate to people from part of our self. Parental role. Don't disappoint me, guys, okay? You didn't become a doctor. I spent all this on you, and then you flunked. I sacrificed so much for you. Parents know best, okay? Don't fight them. Don't fight your parents, okay? You'll never win. Be a good child, okay? Ego will take up a defensive position. Okay, you talk to your mother when they say, why don't you become A? Whatever the mother wants, rather than what you want. They will be defensive, alright? Recognize that you are dealing with their ego. And not their true self. They love you. Okay, guys? Just in the wrong way. Alright? Ego can also take things personally. Believe me, I'm a doctor, I know. Oh, come on, you know. How do you know the other person? Believe me, I know. I'm the expert. I'm your doctor. I'm your savior. After this lecture, you probably will say things differently, isn't it? Alright?
That is why we are asking for second opinion.
That's right. That's why the doctor said, no, I am the expert. Go and find yourself another doctor. Right, folks? Well, I hope your doctor doesn't come this way now. Back in the old days, that's what we do. Now we're enlightened. I don't do that. I said, great, go and see it. Take the pressure off me. I can relax, do I? Okay, it's a different form. I'm looking after my own interest and pretend to be looking after yours. So I'm a little bit smarter. Alright, so why don't you believe me, okay? The action can be defensive, even aggressive. That's why people have this, road rage. You go down there and beat up the other guy for cutting you off. Alright, ego leads to greed. We talk about that. Ego leads to hostility. I'm angry at you for not believing me. Ego is stubborn. I don't want to be enlightened. Now, we mentioned something about collective ego. Can act like individual ego. War, national conflict. We all know him. Yes, if we look at the bigger picture, ego can be bigger. Okay, that's the end of today.
Dr. Chen, can I ask you a question? We talk about ego today, either the positive ego or the negative ego. How would you define, one should have ego, is it the same as self-value?
Actually, that would lead to a very interesting second point in the later lectures. Ego is not really the bad thing, okay, but we have to define ego, okay, because what you are talking about, the ego, is probably different from what we talk about ego here. You're talking about self-determination, the drive, the will to excel. That is not really what we talk about as an ego, based on the characteristics we are defining. Our terms are different. So it's really a definition problem. What you're referring to, that portion of ego, is coming out of true consciousness. What I define is the statue that was covered by mud. So that's the two different words on ego. And ego can be used to benefit society. Depends on how we apply it. So it's not necessarily bad. In one of the later lectures, okay, I will be talking about greed. Okay? Greed is bad, right? No. Greed is not necessarily bad. Now let's look at greed. The Earth Buddha, every one of us know, do you know the Earth Buddha? The one of the Buddhas who said, until hell is all empty, I'm not going to be a Buddha. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Well, one of the Buddhas said, until hell is empty, I am not going to be a Buddha. I'm going to just stay as a Bodhisattva. Now, isn't that guy greedy? Look at it this way. Isn't he greedy? Well, look. He wants the hell to be empty? What kind of greed is this? His ego is really huge, isn't it? Humongous. I don't even have a bigger term for him. Is that ego bad? It's how we apply it, okay? Right? That is extremely greedy.
What if you can't hope to be good?
That's right. Self and selfless. To sum it up, self and selfless. Okay, folks? Ego may not be bad. How we apply it. Okay? Xingxing, please make some comment.
No, I was just going to ask if you could give some comment on what you take from today's lecture.
Today's lesson is very deep and very difficult to understand, to absorb all of this information. However, I'm not sure if I get it correctly, but it's to me like ego, like you put a label to it. I still try to absorb all of the information. That's about all I can say.
I think the ego they're talking about, whether it's good or bad, is whether you have the wisdom. If your wisdom is for the benefit of sentient being, it's good. But if your ego is for yourself, that is bad. And that is the same thing that Father Chen said about true nature and true consciousness.
I think in this lecture series,
what Father Chen has taught us today is we start with defining what ego is, but then later on, in his summation statement, he broke his own definition. He was thinking outside the box, right? So definition always confines certain things in its context, right? So we have to do that by definition. But later on when you say, you know, take the ego as one of the great Bodhisattva vow to have salvation to all earth, hell beings, is more important than him becoming enlightened. You know, he's gone beyond the thinking boxes. So let us just put that aside for a moment. Just recap what the Dr. Chen's series of lectures is. Maybe that's less confusing. We just pick our thinking box, pick and pick one at a time. So first we start out with the definition of ego. Then we talk about the evolution of the self in human, starting with single cell organism. First, we define ego as some false construct which is not our real nature. It's a temporary thought construct. Right? And what is the purpose of this thought construct? Right? Then in his second lecture, evolution of self in human, we start with single cell organism and see how this self construct has a survival instinct advantage. In order for the organism to survive, the organism evolves this thought construct called the ego. Right? And then we look at this ego can be animal instinct, human instinct, and so on. We see how this thinking box grows bigger and bigger. Then we focus entirely in human being. Right? So going from the whole evolution of all from single cell to dinosaur to human, then we just focus on individual today as human being, right? With all the toys we identify as
being part of ourselves, which is all illusion, going back to this. So it's an illusionary thought process of materialism based on the false premise of survival. Right? Because we don't need 20 toys to survive, or, you know, fancy cars to survive. But that's all part of the ego thing. Why do we then go so deep and deep? And then we also look at the characteristics of ego. So why do we do all this? Because the ego is an illusionary obstacle to our road to enlightenment. So I think that pretty much captures the gist of today's lecture. That is why we try to understand ego so much. We'll go to our next classmate for the comment for today's lectures.
I think if you think about others, it's easier to let go of the ego.
Usually when people talk about ego, it tends to be always the bad part of the ego. This is one of the rare lectures when we take ego in the definition as a whole thing, good and bad together. In fact, in the beginning, it's neither good or bad, just define it what it is. Then you strip it in two parts, good or bad. And this is why I find this lecture quite interesting. Thank you.
Any more comments?
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do, using the modern language, ego, but we put the positive and negative together, make it easier for people to understand. That's what AWE is doing now. So whatever they start with negative, we're trying to change it to positive. That way we can change the world.
It might be slightly beyond the scope of this lecture, but it might be a good time. On this slide, this thinking mode, this thinking construct, right? Thinking. When we think with our mind. And a mind is our neural network. Okay. So really, to transform or transcend or modify our ego is an extremely difficult task. If we understand neural network, there is neuroplasticity. So we have to unlearn all that old network and learn new network. Now we took, you know, 20, 30, 40, how many, whatever your age is, that's how many years of neuroplasticity we have entrenched our neural network to be. So at AWE, we are not taking that approach, actually. We are not rearranging your neural network by neuroplasticity retraining. What we're saying is, going back to Jenny's first lecture, the mind is separate from the spirit. With spiritual enlightenment that completely overcomes all these neuroplastic thinking mode, that is where we are at. Okay? Because we're not going to rewire your brain more and brainwash you. Our direction is the spirit triumph over the mind. Alright? So we have body, mind, spirit, three components that make up the whole being, the whole entity. And the spirit can triumph over the mind. Okay. So just want to end with that. Thank you.